Good morning, church. Wasn't that beautiful? I mean, this was really good. Pastor Matt, you did a good job. That I loved this. And isn't he beautiful? He's got this amazing smile, this little boy. Okay, it seems like we're struggling with this thing today. Yeah. Right. Church, I've got a message for you this morning. And I thought that I just had 30 minutes because these guys were very quick. So I actually have my 40 minutes. So I thought that I would have to skimp through it. But I'm going to trust the Lord that I will be able to finish and bring across everything that the Lord has laid on my heart. We have just witnessed the dedication of Uzziah. We have heard that his parents are committing him unto the Lord. We have heard the blessings that have been spoken over his life. As we are focusing on family in term three, I have been asked to jump from Ephesians 1 to Ephesians 6. And I'm going to share the word of the Lord with you this morning, Isaiah 6, verse 1 to 4. And we're going to look at the relationships between parents and children. Now, who of you here has ever been a child? Just put up your hand. Okay. And who of you are parents or parents to be soon? Awesome. So I am speaking to you guys. And I'm speaking to myself this morning. So let's see what the Lord has to say. When I address some of the concepts, I just want to say that I've worked out of a book written by Craig Hill. And he's the foundation, he does Family Foundation, and this book is called Ancient Pathways. And Pastor Matt is going to share a little bit more on that when it's Father's Day coming up. And we're going to have a conference with these guys, because they've got concepts that we need to hear. They've got things that we need to readjust and redirect our families and our lives to. So I am not claiming that everything that I say this morning comes from me, but I have used some of his material. So if you get across to it, don't say, oh, Pastor Yvette, she's taking other people's material. Yes, I've done that. And I am going to bring that before you in some stages. When we look at Uzziah, we see that he has identity and purpose, because he is somebody. He is a little person carrying the image of Jesus Christ. And he has a purpose. There is a reason why he is born. And we can ask that same question. We can ask the question to ourselves, who am I? And why was I born? So the question, who am I, is identity. And the question, why am I here? That answers to purpose. And I must say, in today's life and today's culture, many people who do not know who they are. They do not know who they are. Their identity is formed through things that the world has put on them. But our identity needs to be formed in Christ. Who am I in Christ? And why am I here? What do I need to do for God? Why am I born? And we're going to look at that today, and I'm going to answer some of those questions here and there. Right, so let's look at the Word of God, and before we do that, let's just pray together. Father, I bring your word before you today. And I ask, Lord, that you will help me as I humble myself before you. Holy Spirit, will you help me to explain your word today? That I will be able to make it practical. Lord, that we will walk away from here and that we would have learned something today. Father, some of this content might put your finger on things that needs to be redirected. Some of the things might be very sensitive. And I ask, Lord, that you will help me to bring it across in love and with compassion and with care, and that no person at all will feel judged or criticized. But Father, that we will look at our lives and at our families and say, Lord, how can we do this better? And I ask, Father, that we will open our hearts now and that our ears will hear what you have to say. And Lord, I bless your word in Jesus' mighty name. Let it be according to your perfect plan for us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Right, Ephesians 6, and we're going to read verse 1 to verse 4. So you can follow us on the screen, or you can follow in your Bible. Children, obey your parents in the Lord as his representatives, for this is just and right. Honor, esteem, and value as precious your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that all may be well with you and that you may live long on this earth. Fathers, do not irritate and provoke your children to anger. Do not exasperate them to resentment, but rear them tenderly in the training and discipline and the counsel and admonition of the Lord. Now, Apostle Paul is very particular when he speaks about the relative duties, and he gives us clear instructions in Ephesians. And as we've learned, Ephesians is a book that we can apply in our lives today. So he was not just talking to the guys living in Ephesus, he's talking to us here today. God created the first family, Adam and Eve, and he blessed them. They got married. He said, you will be one flesh. And that was the first family unit in the universe. And God looked at it and he said, this is good. This is good. What is a family? It is a spiritual entity. It is not just different people living under the same roof. A family is made up when there's a covenant, a marriage covenant between a husband and a wife. There is spiritual protection that lies in the confines of a family that has been established in a marriage that we cannot find outside of that covenant. Parents are strong men and agents. And parents are put into place so that children may be protected. The husband is the head of his household. And Paul addresses that in Ephesians 5. And we will look at that on the 18th of September when I lead a sermon called Marriage Sunday. The father is the head of the household. And he is the strong man to the wife. And then both parents are the strong men for the children. And this is the way that God protects the children and the household. Now let's go back to Ephesians 6 verse 1. You know how I work, so let's go. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is just and right. Now, in Ephesians 5, when he spoke to the man, he said, you must love and honor and adore and appreciate your wife like Jesus loves the church. And then he looked at the wives and he said, you need to submit under your husband. Now, when we look at it in September, I will address that. You know, I get all the hard cases, all the things that's sensitive. It seems like that falls on me. So before you raise up your shackles in terms of submission, don't worry, it's not as bad as it sounds. It's actually really, really good. And if you understand that, then you will understand why it is important. But now he comes and he addresses the children. And he doesn't say submit, Because when we submit, submission takes knowledge. You cannot submit unless you have the knowledge about what it is. So God comes and he speaks to the children and he says, children, you need to obey. You need to obey. That's all you need to do. Now, it works like this. Who are the children that he's talking about? It is every person that is born into that family biologically. The mom and the dad had a baby. But it also speaks of stepchildren. It also speaks of children that has been adopted. So it is the whole spectrum. If you are in a family and it doesn't matter how you got there, that is your family. You become the child. And when he talks about parents, that includes biological parents, adoptive parents. It includes stepmothers and stepfathers. It even includes grandmothers and grandfathers that has given the task as parents. In other words, it's anything where the mom and the dad plays the role of mom and dad. It doesn't matter how they got there, and it doesn't matter how the child got into that family. The obligation on the parent is that he should train the child up. So if we look at Proverbs 22 verse 6, we read the following. Train up a child in the way he should go, and keeping with his individual gift or bent, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So the parents need to train and teach the children. What does that look like? It means you are sharing and training and teaching them on a daily basis. Do you know that you tell a child between the time that he gets teeth to the time that he's 18 about what? 400,000 times, something like that, ridiculous, that he needs to brush his teeth. And then by the time he's 18, I'm sure he'll be able to do that. That is what training looks like. You talk at every possible, in every possible situation. You teach, you train, you raise up, you bring in the word of the Lord. You direct. Now, obviously, when they're small, you know, it's kind of, this is the way it is. And when they're bigger, older, a little bit more like teenagers, you direct and you suggest and you come alongside them. So that's what we do. But training means it doesn't stop until godly character has been formed in them. We cannot keep quiet. Because when they are teenagers, they want you to keep quiet. They do. And it's okay because that's natural for them. But we can't give them that. Because we can't give them what they want. We need to give them what they need. And when you have adult children, you ask their permission to speak into their lives. So mine will come and I'll say, can I have an opinion? Would you like to hear what I think? Yes, mom, dad, please tell us. And then we can sit down and we can give our perception, our point of view. What they do with it is then their problem. But that is how we work with our children. I want to invite Carolyn up. She has been training Anashi in the ways of the Lord. And I want to let her share her testimony, take the shot. Because something happened with her and Anashi at the park a week ago. And she took the shot. And that shot was taken directly because of the fact that she is training Anashi in the ways of the Lord. So Carolyn, can I ask you to come up? And then just to share your take the shot testimony with the congregation.
Good morning, church. On Tuesday, I took Anashe to the park, and I just parked, you know, near the park, and I said to Anashe, you can jump, go and play at the park. I'm just going to be in the car because I need to pray. So Anashe went to the park, and I was praying in the car. So at the park, there were three kids, one girl and two boys. They were only like 10 years old. So when I was in the car, I saw that the girl took a phone and gave it to Anashe because they thought Anashe was by himself. And the girl asked Anashe, where is your mom? And Anashe said, my mom is in the car praying for God. So I finished praying and I went to the park. So as soon as I got to the park, the kids asked me, oh, were you praying? I said, oh, I felt a little embarrassed. And then I said, yes. Then they said, oh, your son told us that you were praying for God. I said, no, I wasn't praying for God. I was praying to God. And they started to ask me about prayer. Does God hear when you pray? What does his voice sound like? So they started to ask me all these questions about prayer. I said, God hears you and he can answer you when you pray. And then they asked if God can judge. I say, no, God loves all of you. And they started to ask for prayer as well. So the little girl said, can you please pray for one of your another boy that gets bullied at school? Then I said, yeah, I can pray for him. Then I started praying for the boy. I held his hand and I prayed for him. And then the girls, they heard the prayer and they said, oh, I need a prayer too. Can you pray for me? Because I want to be a kindergarten teacher and just ask God that I want to concentrate in school. And I prayed for her. And then the brother said, can you pray for me? Because when I grow up, I want to be a motorbike rider. I said, okay. So I prayed for all of them. And they started to ask for prayer for their families as well. She said, I have a little sister who's on the dummy. And my parents are worried. She's 3 years old. Can you also pray for her? And then I prayed for her. And they started to ask me about, because when I was praying, I said, in Jesus' name, they asked about Jesus too. They said, but who is Jesus? And I told them, Jesus is the Son of God, and he loves you. And they were confused about prayer, and they said, but when we pray, does God talk to us as well? Because we also want to start praying. I said, yes. So they were amazed, and they were asking me questions. And then in the end, I said, do you guys believe? I was confused. And they said, yes, yes, we do believe. And they were just so happy. And they said, before you go, can you play hide and seek? I said, okay. And then I started to play hide and seek with them. And the girl started to pray. She went away from us and she was praying. So as we were playing hide and seek, the little brother said, oh, don't go to her because she's praying. And it was just amazing. And after we separated, the girl came to me and she hugged me. She said, can we meet again here at the park on Saturday? I said, oh, okay. So it was just amazing. And I didn't know what just happened. And I said to God, I don't understand what just happened. Did I really pray to these kids? I was just here at the park minding my own business. So God is amazing, and it was just Anashe. He was not ashamed to say that my mom was praying. So thank you for listening.
Thank you. That was well done. Thank you very much, Caroline. Why did that happen? That happened because she lives the Word of God. She is setting an example to her boy. And she's doing it over and over and over again. And that is how she's training him. Now, all people, old and young, need rules that we can understand and live by so that we can freely move in these boundaries. If we decide that a red robot, a traffic light, that red is not red anymore, what do you think will happen? What do you think will happen? Do you think people will stop at the red light? No, they will go, and it will cause a mess. Aaron, just show them the mess that it will cause. It'll cause that mess. Now, what happens? I want to explain this to you. In today's Western culture, in today's society, our children do not want rules anymore. They say that rules are old-fashioned. They say that rules are made to be broken. And they say that rules took away their fun. Is that the truth? That is not the truth. That is not the truth. The truth is that rules keep us safe. That rules make boundaries. And children need boundaries to move and breathe and live in. Because that will keep them safe. When they're small, we give them small boundaries. When they become teenagers, we can invite them to make the boundaries with us. We can say, we can have a conversation with them. What do you think? No, I think this. But the parent still has the final say. How late do you think you want to come in? No, 1 o'clock in the morning. No, I don't think that's a good idea. Choose anything between 8 and 10. No, okay, I'll choose 10. But at least they've got an input. At least they've got, we've got to give that to them as they start getting older and older. But if we don't follow rules, if we don't follow God's rules, we will end up in a big, big mess. When our children overstep the boundaries, they will need to be disciplined, but disciplined in love. Disciplined in love. We never say, you are a mistake. We say, you made a mistake, but we can fix it. We never address the person. We never address the character. We address the issue or the behavior. But we lift the person. And we are always willing to give a second chance. Because how many second chances has God not given us? We must deal wisely and prudently with our children, explaining, teaching, and guiding them with compassion. And you know, if they become teenagers and they've got attitudes, sometimes we've got to look past that. Is it easy? No, it's not. But it's a growing experience for both parent and child. I always, when Reinu was smaller, I did the following. He got much more hidings than Bram ever got in his life. Reinu was the naughty one. So when something happened, and I'm talking about 3-4 years old, I would discipline him. And when that's done, I would take him on my lap. And I would say, Reina, come sit here on mom's lap. And I would look at him and I would say, do you know why you just got a hiding? No, I don't. Reina, do you know what you did wrong? No, I don't know that. I didn't do anything. So I needed to explain to him. Reinu, when you took the cookies out of the cupboard without asking mommy, you actually stole them. But I forgive you and I gave you a hiding because I don't want you to do that any longer. So let's pray. And then I would pray with him. And then we would pray a simple prayer. Lord Jesus, please help me to be obedient to my mommy and don't take the cookies when I'm not allowed to. Okay. And then I would say, Reinu, I forgive you. I forgive you for being disobedient. And then he would hug me and I would hug him and I would say, I love you. And I would speak something over him that would build his self-esteem. And that's how we did it. Sometimes we forget as parents to do that. So if you've got a little one, this is a good example of how to raise them and train them in the area of forgiveness. Who knows that parents are not perfect? More hands can go up because that is a fact. All right, Aaron, show us that that one. Not that one, the next one. Ooh. Whoops. Whoops. Sometimes as parents, we feel like that. Whoops, maybe it was a little bit too high. I don't know if I'll be able to catch him if he comes down. You see, when we go to verse 2, it says this. Honor, esteem, and value as precious your mother and your father. This is the first commandment with a promise. And he's still talking to children. And I am still a child. At the age of 50, I've got parents, so I'm in that regard still a child. Although parents, although children do not understand the decisions that their parents might make, they still need to honor them, even if they don't agree with them. Parents need to be patient with their children, understanding that they do not reason as adults yet. Now we can ask the question. Not all of you, not all of us have had godly parents. Not all of us has been raised in a home where we had good godly examples. So you might sit here today and you can say, how can I honor an abusive parent? How can I honor a parent that shouted and screamed at me? How can I honor a parent that had been abusive? To whatever degree, how can I honor a horrible parent? God understands that. But we need to deal with that. Because the word of the Lord says, if you cannot forgive those who have sinned against you, then God cannot forgive you your sin and your trespasses. And we cannot come to a place where we cannot be forgiven by God because we have not forgiven. So this was one of the things that God highlighted to me when I prepared for the sermon. And he said, there will be people there not having a good relationship with their parents. And the problem is unforgiveness. The problem is unforgiveness. I don't know what your parents did to you. I don't know how imperfect they were. I don't know whether they criticized and judged you or kept something against you because we are not perfect. So whether you are a child today or whether you are an adult child today, I want to lay it on your heart this morning that you will sort out if there's any unforgiveness in your heart. And the way to do that is to see if you judge them. So I just want to do something very practical with you this morning. Please just close your eyes for me. Just close your eyes and see if you can see big hooks. You know those hooks that they hang the meat on? If you've ever been for prayer ministry, you'll know what we're doing now. Just imagine there are great hooks in front of you. And just think about your relationship with your mom and your dad. Even if they have passed away, just recall that. And see for me if your parents or perhaps God is hanging on those hooks. See for me who's hanging on those hooks. It may be you, may be God, it may be your parents, or it may be a person that has played the role of a parent or a grandparent in your life. Now what I want you to do, I want you to work with me here. I want you to, in your imagination, take that person off the hook and give them to Jesus. See if you can see Jesus standing next to you. And in your mind, in your spirit, take that person off. And say, Jesus, I don't want to judge this person anymore. I just want to give this person to you. And maybe there's another person. Take that person off your hook and give them to Jesus. And I want you to just work through that for me. Maybe there's another person hanging there. Say, Lord, help me. I don't want to judge people. Don't want to criticize them. Father, what they've done to me was not right. But I don't want to walk with this any longer. So take them off and give them to Jesus. And then I want you to pray this prayer of forgiveness with me. So just softly, in your mind or under your breath, just follow me. Father God, I come to you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Lord, and I understand that I have judged these people. And Father, in my heart, I find that I have unforgiveness and bitterness, resentment, and maybe hate towards these people. But Father, today I choose to be obedient to your word. Today I choose, Lord, to let it go. It is not easy, Holy Spirit, so I ask that you will help me. I choose to forgive them. So, Father, now in the name of Jesus, I declare that I let it go. I forgive, and you can name them now, for what they've done to me. I choose to let it go in Jesus' name. And I give them to you, Father, because I don't want to carry this burden with me any longer. I release them in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, now I ask that you will forgive me for holding on to unforgiveness. And I ask that you will wash me clean with the precious blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Father, that I am free. I am free, and I ask, Lord, that you will now work with these people and that I carry no false responsibility for them any longer. Lord, this doesn't mean that what they have done to me is okay. It just means that you are dealing with it now and that I am not responsible for it anymore. Thank you, Father, for helping me to lift this burden today. And I give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. I trust that the Holy Spirit has done this for you this morning. When we honor our parents, doesn't matter what they've done, it brings a twofold blessing on us. And this is the blessing, we find it in Ephesians 6 verse 3, that all may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Exodus 20 verse 12 says, regard, treat with honor, due obedience and courtesy your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land and that the Lord your God gives you. So this is two blessings. It's a promise that it will be good with you. That means that you will prosper in every area of your life. The word blessing means to empower. It is baruch. It means to empower with prosperity. A good definition will be to have a pleasant journey in your life. I want to illustrate this with you. To you with the two plants that I have here. That one looks like that because it's not received the nutrients that it needed. I poisoned it by accident. And now it looks like that. But this one, I like this one. So I gave it lots of attention. And I made water with nutrients in it, and I poured it on it every week, and I gave good words to it, and look, it's growing beautifully. Now, children, tiny little children, and grown-up children are either that one or this one due to the words that our parents had spoken over us. So can you imagine this to be a person? This is a child. You know what has happened to this child? This child or adult child has been cursed with words that broke down their identity and their purpose. Parents used words like, you will amount to nothing. You are not worthy of my time. What an idiot you are. You are the biggest mistake of my life. Why are you so stupid? Why do you get F's on your report? Or even the A is not good enough. Why is it not an A plus? Has this happened to you? Maybe it was a teacher. But this is what we look like on the inside if we are fed poison. This is called cursing. But this one, this is the result of a child or an adult child that has been blessed. This is the blessing. You are beautiful. You are amazing. Man, you made a mistake, but it's okay. We have your identity in Christ. You can do well. Did you get a D? You know what? I know that you are intelligent. I know if you work hard, you can produce a C for me. And when we work together, I know it might become a B. You are amazing. And then what happens to that person is this. This happens. And that is the blessing that God wants to share with us this morning. This is what we need to do. And if we didn't have it, and we currently look like this, then God says we can fix it. We can cut off every curse and every negative word over your life spoken, and it will have no effect, and we can start bringing the blessings, and you can have new leaves. So who of you have had curses and things spoken over you that you did not agree with and that you think was very, very wrong? The rest, you've been never cursed? Oh my goodness, you are lucky. Okay. But for those that put up their hands, let's cut this off. Because I don't want to look like that. I don't want this. I don't want the enemy to get his way. I want to look like this. All right. So let's pray. And this is what it looks like. Father God, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And I come against every assignment that has been set up against everybody present in this building this morning. And I declare that those curses and that those negative words that have been spoken over us in our lives, I declare that that is now nullified, void, empty, and cancelled out in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And I declare that these curses will fall flat. I declare that those words will have no identity on me any longer and no purpose on us any longer, and it will not come to pass. I declare that it is null and void. And I ask, Father, that you will change every curse into a blessing. And I call over us a word of blessing, Father. Lord, that we are good enough. Father, that we will prosper, that you love us, that you bless us, that we are awesome. Father God, that you love us, that you care for us, that you have compassion over us. Lord, that you have a destiny and a purpose and an identity for us. And I declare, Father, that your promises and that your words will come to pass in our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let it be so. Okay, I don't have much time. So all I want to say to you is, parents, you hold the key. So put slide 15 up for us, Aaron. You have the key in your hands to make your child this beautiful palm tree or this little one. I don't even actually know what it's called. See, this plant doesn't have an identity, so maybe that's the problem. But you have the keys, parents. You have the keys to produce a child, either looking like this or a child either looking like that. I'm sure if we are in our right mind, we will all choose that one. And I just want to show you quickly what it looks like. Ami, come up. Stand in front of me. Now, Pastor Matt will continue with the blessings. We will explain it. We're going to have a seminar. Next year, we're going to get the people in to come, and the whole congregation can attend this because God's teaching us something in this season. But this is an example of how you can bless your children. So even if you just take this today, I want you to go home, and once a week, you bless your children. So you look at them in the eye, and you touch them and you proclaim over them things like, Ami, you are a child of the Most High God. You are my princess. I love you. I bless you with the love of the Lord. Your identity lies in Him. Your purpose lies in Him. You are the joy of my heart. You are the glue of our family. You keep us together. God has good plans for you. He purposes for you to have a good life. I pray that you will be blessed in school, blessed in your assignments, blessed in your relationships, blessed in everything that you do. I want you to prosper, and I want you to be successful. Know that your identity lies in Christ, and that we love you, and that you are important to us. In Jesus' name. And that's what you do. And that's what you speak over your children every week. And you touch them. And if they're teenagers and they don't want to do it anymore, then, well, you know, you pray over them when they sleep. Thank you, Carolyn. But there will be a way that you can do this. Maybe you're not doing this in your families, but maybe we need to redirect and maybe we need to change. Okay, the next 17 minutes, I'm going to put in 1 minute. It's Ephesians 6 verse 4. Fathers, talking to the dads, do not irritate and provoke your children to anger, but rear them tenderly in the training and discipline and counsel and admonition of the Lord. Fathers, you have responsibility, accountability, and possibility. What stood out for me here is the following. It is the father that will stand before God one day and give account to the Lord of what has happened to his family and his children. It will not be the mother. That is the accountability. The mother needs to be in the family, and the father cannot do it without her. The problem today is we have families that are single moms. We are families that have no fathers. We have families that do have fathers, but they're not spiritual, godly men. We have absent fathers. We have families that are fatherless. There is no father. And that causes a lot of problems in our culture. But God has an answer. And the answer is, here are godly men sitting in front of me this morning. You need to stand up. And you start need to get connected to the families that are fatherless. And you need to become the spiritual fathers for those families. You need to see where the mothers are single. And you need to go to them. And you need to say, I am willing to become a mentor for your children. I am willing to step into that position so that you can be blessed. Why must our families that do not have husbands and fathers not get the blessing? They must. And we can make that happen. We can make that happen. Fathers, you need to love your children. You need not to anger them. You need to work with them compassionately and kindly, especially if they become teenagers and young adults and when they're so small. You need to bless them. You need to love them. You need to work with them wisely. Wisely. Your love needs to be the thing that they remember. Does it mean that they will always agree with you? No. Does it mean that you will butt heads? Yes. But you solve it. And there must always be this compassion. Fathers, do not anger your children. Sometimes you can say and do things and it's not fair. Don't do that. Make it fair. Make them understand. Older children don't understand. Like Rainu did not understand. You must explain to them where they've gone wrong. Fathers, with the help of the mothers, it is your duty that you raise and train up your children in the way of the Lord. Your possibility is that your children will share heaven with you one day. And that's the end goal. That is the end goal. And even if we sit here and we didn't have those parents, God is the Father. God is the Father that speaks blessings over us. God is the Father that can rectify relationships. God is the Father that can make it right. Is everything perfect in our lives? No, it's not. Is everything perfect in our relationships? No, it's not. I have a daughter that I've raised since she was 2. And she's 27. She doesn't want me. I have not been in her life for 6 years. Because she has chosen that she doesn't want a relationship with me. I have a grandchild that is not my grandchild. He's a little boy. He's 4 years old. I've got nothing of him. I can't speak into his life. I've got a little grandson that was born last week. And he died. And I don't have the privilege to phone my daughter and to say, I am so sorry about what has happened to you. But I can bless her and I can pray for her and I can pray for the grandchildren that I might never see. And it's okay because God is in control. And if you here today and you have a relationship that's not going well, a child-parent relationship, give it to the Lord. And children, if you're sitting here today and it's not well, God can fix it for you. So I'm leading us into communion now. And I just want to share this scripture. And it's coming back to forgiveness. Matthew 6 verse 15 says, but if you do not forgive others their trespasses, their reckless and willful sins, leaving them, letting them go and giving up resentment, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. And then in 1 Corinthians 11 verse 28, he talks about communion and he says this, let a man thoroughly examine himself And only when he has done this, so should he eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For if we searchingly examined ourselves, detecting our shortcomings and recognizing our own condition, we should not be judged and penalty decreed by the divine judgment. Now it works like this. Please do not eat and drink of that communion table if you still are in unforgiveness or if there is something that you have to rectify in a relationship. Because the word of the Lord says you will eat and drink a judgment over yourself. So what I want to do is the following. You know communion. You know that Jesus died and it's his blood and that it is symbolically his flesh. I want you to do it on your own. You can do that on your own. So I want to ask one of the worship, Alida maybe? Is Alida here? Somebody just to come and play the keys for us? Then what I want you to do is, I just want you to spend a few minutes making very, very sure that you examine your heart in terms of your relationships, especially child-parent and parent-child. Make sure that you have no judgment and unforgiveness in your heart. Sort it out. And then when it is sorted out, I want you to go and I want you to fetch your elements and I want you to go back to your seat and have communion by yourself. And we'll give 5 minutes for that. And if that's done, we will pray together. Is that okay? Church, can we do that? All right. So I'm giving you this time just to examine your hearts. Thank you, Father, that you died on the cross. Thank you, Lord, that these emblems is symbolical of what you did for us. Thank you, Lord, that we can partake in communion with you. Thank you for the price that you've paid. We give you all the honor and we give you all the glory. Wash us clean, Father. Help us. Help us to do what we're supposed to do. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name.